Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 20th on the West Coast, now January the 21st on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd also like to, besides those listening in on BBS Radio, I'd like to welcome those listening in around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. Well, here we are, 1 year into the presidency of the United States. And what is the state of the world? What can we say? It's amazing what's going on. I read a very interesting article very early in the morning after last night's show, in fact. And I think we'll be talking about that somewhat a little bit later on into the show. First, we're going to bring out tonight's guest. If you've been listening to the show any length of time, you know that I appear on another show, A Marine's Disquisition, every Monday afternoon with the host. And he appears here on Evident Footprints to reciprocate. He's a great researcher. Great talk show host in his own right, former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977. And I must remind myself that on New Year's Eve, he reminded me that he's always a Marine. So I don't know why he says former Marine. My good friend, Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And welcome to all my Marine buddies around the world who got the word today that we would be heard on Evident Footprint tonight, and a number of them are listening. So Semper Fi, guys.
Semper Fi. All right. I'm happy that a lot of your friends and acquaintances get to listen in, Drew, to hear at least our perspective. We may not be right 100% of the time, but we're right at least 99.99% of the time.
Well, I got news for you. In the Marine Corps, we got this old saying about we're never wrong. Okay? We're never wrong. If you hear anything we say that is a misquote, just ignore it.
Yeah.
If you don't like what we've got to say on this show, I'll tell you what, there's a dial over there. Go turn it.
Yeah.
Because everything that I know that comes out on BBS Radio, and I've listened to BBS Radio for several months now, and I haven't found a misquote on any of the shows that I've had the pleasure to listen to, so especially on your specific show.
Well, we do make mistakes. I mean, sometimes, slip of the tongue, sometimes a slip of the brain. We can misquote something, but pretty much most of the time we are on target with a lot of stuff.
John Fitzgerald Kennedy said, an error does not become a mistake unless you don't correct it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what's been in the news? Well, Haiti, of course, and when this earthquake came out in Haiti, I think you and I and a couple of other people instantly jumped on that and said, wait a minute, something's wrong here. You don't have buildings falling down and no damage to the roads, no damage to the infrastructure of the surrounding areas, and including the country that shares two-thirds of the same island. The Dominican Republic didn't have any damage. What the heck went on? And as the information is coming out, pretty much everybody's agreeing that they were playing a little harp music, weren't they?
Amen. From all reports that I've been getting, harp and a satellite barrage of top-secret proportions was used on Haiti. And one of the nice things that came to me just before the show tonight was that a little known fact. I got the word, and then I turned around and called a friend of mine that works at Oil Reserve Magazine out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he confirmed it, that he's known about it, and the oil industry has known about it for a number of years, but they've kept it very quiet, and that is Haiti has a larger oil reserve than Venezuela, to the tune of, ladies and gentlemen, it would be like comparing a glass of water to an Olympic-sized swimming pool, with the glass of water belonging to all the oil that Hugo Chavez has, the fourth, the largest exporter to the United States from South America, to a Olympic-sized swimming pool. That would be more oil than they've got in all of the United States. We've got a lot of problems out here, and as you very well know, Don, you and I both get down the rabbit hole, start getting the snakes to move around, and we're finding out that we've just got too many darn secrets out there, and too many Americans are watching television and not learning the full truth about what's going on. It's not just the United States. It's happening in Australia. It's happening in New Zealand. It's happening in the United Kingdom. It's an embarrassment in the United Kingdom today, specifically. For the newspapers over there are so controlled that, and the television is so controlled that the lies perpetuated out of the UK have come home to roost. And I bring this out in the fact that here's this oil reserve and these oil fields around Haiti that are vast and extremely accessible. There's no hard rock that the drill bits are going to have to go through. Even though it is bedrock, it's not the hard shell cake rock that we have in Texas or in Alaska. And it's not deep, like we're drilling offshore in the Pacific or the Atlantic. The oil that is right there at Haiti is just basically at surface level compared to what we've been drilling in other parts of the world. And all these lies come out, and we've got Americans here in the United States, specifically one CEO of one major company that's been using the company to bring supplies into Haiti, and nobody talks about it. It's amazing that since our show just barely a week ago, bringing out the beginnings of this, and here we are a week later, and I'm right here. I went out tonight with friends to have pizza, and they are brainwashed. It amazed me. I sat there at the table. I got into an argument with them. They were telling me, well, they saw all these great pictures from Haiti, and I'm thinking, you know, take this television and throw it in the trash can, people. I've watched more news about Haiti off the internet just today than what that was honest in what these people had been watching this last week off the idiot box. Oh, now I've turned over to Fox now. I've been watching Fox and I'm getting all the truth out of Haiti. And what preposterous lies is coming out with Fox? Well, first of all, they show the massive destruction, and they make it appear like it's really nationwide, but it's not. It's only in Port-au-Prince.
Well,
it's only within a 30-square-mile area.
They want people to send money, you see.
And they want people to send money. And then nobody talks about just over the mountain, less than 100 miles away, there's nobody. I mean, there's no devastation. There's no total wipeout. And everybody's ridiculing Royal Caribbean for bringing their cruise ship into port. And what bothers me about the ridicule, Don, is the fact that the Royal Caribbean cruise lines have this is a port that they have in Haiti. It's a major industry for Haiti. Royal Caribbean has been supporting Haiti with cruise ship lines going in to Labrador for the last 30 years, having over 2,000 employees down there.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, they're 100 miles away from Port-au-Prince over on the other side of the mountain, but they're not devastated. And nobody's talking about the fact that here's a company, Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, and they've been bringing supplies in all week. And who paid them? Nobody. They've been bringing in pallets of water, pallets of blankets, pallets of ready-to-eat meals, foodstuffs that they, Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines, bought from their own pocket and utilized their cruise line to bring them to Labrador and offload them while the tourists that are going to be on a vacation anyway, these people have paid to go on a cruise in the Caribbean. They're not going to go anywhere. And the Royal Caribbean is taking advantage of the fact that our business is entertaining people in vacationing. And yes, we know about the travesties over on the other side. We've offered our cruise liner to come over to the port for basically an offshore hotel. But there's no port that they can be at because the port is totally destroyed. Everything is coming into Port-au-Prince by helicopter from the USS Boxer and the aircraft carrier Stennis. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take rocket science to look at these pictures that my friends were saying that all the roads were totally destroyed, and all I can see is the roads look intact and there's a lot of debris on them.
Yeah, in some places, so the people could get attention, they were stacking up the bodies in the roads. So they could stop the traffic and say, hey, we need help here, you know.
Because and how many have taken the time to learn the full truth about what Royal Caribbean has been doing? I mean, even the CEO, and I have to give kudos out to the CEO for going out of his way to put an article out on the Newswire to stand up and say, look, people, we've been bringing in water and blankets and food. Adam Goldstein is the CEO of Royal Canadian, Royal Caribbean, and the international president and chief executive officer joined with him to address why the company is continuing to call the port on Labrador to bring these supplies. If they hadn't been bringing these supplies, how many people would not have gotten the water that's needed and the food that's needed? And we're not talking about just one or two pallets. We're talking about 30 pallets of water, 30 pallets of blankets and food. That's 90 pallets all together on each one of the cruise ships that are coming into the port down there at Labrador. And they have brought, according to the last record I had, they brought six cruise ships in. And people that were tourists online, they were supposedly upset. We're only talking about when you go out to the rabbit hole. When I did my research, we found two tourists out of 8,000 that were upset that they were pulling into port on the island of Haiti where all the massive destruction is. Two people. and it did, and it was blown out of proportion in the UK. And that to me is a travesty. People that listen to my voice, you need to get off your duff. Walk over the window, stick your head out of it, and say, "Sir, I'm not gonna take it anymore." But shout and say, "Hell no, I'm not gonna take it anymore." And send an email out to Adam Goldstein at Royal Caribbean Cruise Line and tell him, "Thank you, sir, for doing what you do and taking advantage of bringing aid to Haiti without asking the government of the United States, the government of Haiti, the United Nations, anybody. They did it on their own." Now, Don, to me, that's what God put in the Bible to us in do unto others as we would do unto them.
Mm-hmm. Drew, I want to share something with you and the listeners. A lot of people ask, what about this United Galactic Federation? Where are they? Why aren't they helping us? They're over there helping out in Haiti. They're actually picking up houses, levitating the houses, and they're finding living people.
Well, I was going to ask you that. First, I got a story from a Marine down there who advised me that they found a brother and a sister miraculously today in a house that apparently something had happened and shifted the flooring of the house, and this brother and sister were miraculously pulled out alive 7 days into this quake.
Mm-hmm. They've been rescuing a lot of people. And as it was described to me, everybody's dead tired from all the work they've been doing. And they're administering to these people. They're giving them food, supplies. I even asked what their reaction was when they saw who rescued them, and they're just happy to be alive. I mean, they're grateful. But these are just regular people that happen to have a lot of integrity and a lot of faith. A lot of faith. A lot of faith in God. And they also agree with our take on what caused this, too. So
it's here's one for you. I got the word tonight on my show. I did a show today with Dr. A. Truott, and the listening audience can go to my website, amd.elequity.com, and just click on Wednesday, January the 20th, Dr. A. Truott, and that show is there to listen to for free, archived all until next week directly from that page. And then after next Wednesday, to listen to the Today Show, you would just go to my audio archives and go to the link at Blog Talk Radio. Or just up at the top, you can click on it and go to my link at Blog Talk Radio and pull my archives for the last year. They're free. But what was interesting, during my show, it was made known to me by someone that they had gotten pictures, and at this time they have not been able to upload them onto the internet, but pictures of the sky, and the rainbows in the clouds,
mm-hmm.
5, 15, 30 minutes prior to the earthquake. And according to one of my listeners that was in my chat room, said it was the photographs looked exactly like the ones that he had received in countless emails from China just before the massive Chinese earthquake last year.
Yeah, I remember. I saw some of those pictures. Those were
good. Now, I can't wait to see these pictures because I understand it. There were more cell phones with camera capabilities on the island of Haiti than there are in the state of California and Texas and Florida and New York combined.
And who's paying for all those cell phones?
The people. These are individual phones that belong to the people. And yes, who pays for them?
Yeah.
Where do they get the money for cell phones?
Yeah.
But I got a story on my News and Views today, Don, if you missed it. I got a story on my News and Views today that the government of the United States is giving away free phones to indigenous people if they just fill out the form. People that are on welfare, collecting food stamps, or people that are on Medicaid. Now, there was about six or seven things if anybody out there is taking any individual aid from the U.S. government, they can fill out this form and they will get a free, I said free, Don, cell phone, and they get free minutes every month. I don't know I didn't get into it, didn't know about how much it is.
Somebody's making a lot of money on that.
Somebody's making some buku money here at the expense of the American taxpayer.
Yeah, and that will get played and hypothecated in the derivative hedge fund market. You'd be sure of that. Just like this money that Clinton and Bush want to collect. That's another story, too. That has taken on a whole new dimension. That whole squabble over who's going to get the money. Bush 41's trying. He's running the show, believe it or not. This guy is out of office, and he's telling the long-legged Mac Daddy what to do. And if what Chris Story wrote at 4:30 in the morning UK time last night, if what he wrote is true, they have plans to take, well, they threatened Obama, first of all. He claims from a very inside source in the government, he got information, and it was corroborated by another person. This guy swears by this information that Bush had threatened Obama and his family. Now, nobody should be threatened over them stealing money. This is how ruthless these people are. That was one of the things. And then they were going to set him up to take him down, to take Biden out, put Nancy Pelosi in. And then, according to Chris Story, Nancy Pelosi has signed an agreement to, under the auspice of the 25th Amendment, to turn over the presidency to Hillary Clinton so they can continue with their money laundering and embezzling. You don't think
so? No, they're definitely doing something out there. And I found it, you know, I found this very strange. Do you know that there's not a church left standing in Port-au-Prince?
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Okay.
They probably targeted the churches first.
Mm.
And I had heard yesterday and a little bit the day before, but was confirmed again yesterday, that 70% of the government's been destroyed.
Oh, yeah. Well, as I understand, they have no real government going on now, and there's no leadership. Even the police, there's no police department to speak of. The police chief, Port-au-Prince, is dead, along with his lieutenant, the second in command, and with his entire family, they're dead. And I got these pictures from a news reporter out of London, who happened to be in Haiti for another thing. He was down there working with a story front about Haiti being the one leading government that walked away from the Copenhagen Accord, basically sticking their finger up in the Illuminati's face and saying, we're not going along with this with this new world order of global climate change in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
And to me, all of a sudden, that tells me that, you know, the new world order, the Illuminati, the group of seven, they pulled all the strings out and got HARP in this. And this HARP, along with the technology that we have on board satellites, caused this earthquake, because many of the pictures that I got, they're posted online from the United Kingdom, from the Daily Mail. That's the dailymail.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, and the pictures, you look through the pictures they've got posted up there, And bodies are just literally stacked on the roads. And I got news for you, Don. The temperature down there is in the upper 70s, lower 80s.
Well, they were taking dump trucks full of dead bodies.
Exactly. And mass graves, thousands upon thousands. But you look through the pictures, and what amazed me is I was looking at these pictures, and all of a sudden it hit me. The roads were intact completely. And it was just the buildings around them, around the roads, where had fallen and collapsed and covered the roads. Where they had bodies stacked, in a number of pictures where there were buildings that had come down, the roads were intact, but if you pay attention to the pictures, you can see that all the debris on the road is not from the road. It's from buildings and the sides of the mountain that collapsed. And the bodies are piled up, but basically saying, hey, look, you know, we got to get the bodies out of here. You want to bring us supplies? There's no coordinated effort, none whatsoever. And I'm thinking, wait a minute here. I had this argument with my friends tonight. They were, give me this song and dance. Well, I've seen pictures where the roads are really destroyed. And I said, show me. Send me a link. And every link that they send me, after we finished our dinner and, went home, it's like 8 o'clock tonight, my time. And I got 4 or 5 links and nothing. Then I'm looking at all these pictures from Fox News and, there's no destruction of the road. There's a lot of carnage. There's a lot of debris on the roads, but the roads themselves are basically intact. They're, some of them are better than the one that's out in front of my house, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the deal? And then pictures, broad daylight pictures of people in mass trying to get water. From a distribution point, it's like there's no organization put together. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it amazes me that the destruction is so bad. There is a couple of bridges that are overpasses that did collapse. But the road underneath that particular bridge that was collapsed, it's intact. Don, there's something wrong with this picture. Big time, something's wrong with this picture.
Oh yeah,
I saw a guy. One of the pictures, I saw a guy in one of those wheelchairs, just a regular wheelchair. He's pushing himself down the street. No problem with the road. And you look at the aerial views from the digital global satellites, and you can see some areas around the town of Port-au-Prince, it's more devastated than other parts of town. That's another thing that bothers me.
Yeah, that certainly earthquakes don't work like that. And certainly on an island like that, no damage in the Dominican Republic, and that's the eastern two-thirds of the island.
Well, wait a minute. Just 100 miles away.
Yeah.
At the port of La Vadée. There's no major destruction over there whatsoever. And thank God the cruise ship line has been bringing in foodstuffs. And to that part of the island, there's other cities that are on the far eastern side of the island. The far western side of Haiti, and there's no devastation out there. Now, Port-au-Prince, to tell you, it's totally destroyed. Even the dock is destroyed. There's no way that any ship can come into the deep water port. The United States has requested from Avondale Shipyards the dock building ship that's basically it's almost as big as an aircraft, and it should be down there tomorrow, and they're going to I'm assuming they're going to start building a new port, a new docking port there in one of the deepest natural ports in the Caribbean. The pirates loved that port because they didn't have to worry about coming in full speed and docking. Back in the 1700s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's quite obvious. To me, it looks like a coup is going on. This is how coups are made.
And when there's oil, how about the oil?
Yeah, the oil.
It makes a lot of sense that you just said coup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not much different from the moves that they made in Iraq and Afghanistan. Different people, but totally debilitated the inhabitants of the island, at least on the Haitian side. Well, we're going to stay on the story, and I'm sure we'll come up with some more. I want to share something else with you. You recall a couple of months back I wrote an article revealing Dwight Eisenhower's birth certificate controversy that was sort of squelched or quashed, we could say.
You say it was quashed? It's still there. I sent it out tonight to a number of people.
Well, I'm gonna show you divine providence here, Drew. Hang on a second. The article was published November 29, 2009, and it's on my website, DirectLightProductions.com. By the way, this site is almost back to full swing. Still got some files to load. So if you get error pages or are looking for something here, you know, on MobileMe, don't worry about it. It'll be up, hopefully, before the sun comes up. Anyway, the article I wrote, Eisenhower 1952 Birth Certificate Fraud Revealed, and I questioned who Lonnie F. Roberts was, and I came to the conclusion that he was someone in the military, likely the Army, who was pulling strings for Eisenhower. And it was preposterous how this was going down. People tend to handle their own birth certificate issues, with a couple of recent exceptions, of course. We all know who we're talking about there. But I surmised that this birth certificate scandal went on somewhere between July and the November election. And I have a copy of a letter written in Denison, Texas. And underneath, actually, it says at the top, Denison, Texas, birthplace of General Dwight D. Eisenhower. I guess that's supposed to make it official. September 3rd, 1952. I was smack dab on the money with my conclusion. It's addressed to Mrs. Dwight D. Eisenhower, Denver, Colorado. Would you like to hear this letter, Drew?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay. One of my readers sent me this, okay? Dear Mrs. Eisenhower, enclosed, please find birth certificate form partly filled out. Please finish the unanswered questions. Oh, so this person answered some of the questions for her? On somebody else's birth certificate? And sign affidavit A. They even filled out an affidavit for her. By some person that knows when General Eisenhower was born. These sentences are all commas here, by the way. General Eisenhower's brother or any other person that knows a relative will be best. We're not talking about witnesses, just hearsay, right? On affidavit B, anyone can sign that knows the general was born here in Denison, Texas on October 14th, 1890, dot, dot, dot. Mrs. Eisenhower, there is one or two persons here that knows when your husband was born. Yes, I said that. There is one or two persons here that knows when your husband was born. However, I would like to have his brother or other close relative sign where I have marked in pencil. On line 22, brother or relative signs also on affidavit A. This is all just orchestrated. Marked with red pencil, non-relative in blue pencil. Please get this signed and returned as soon as you can. There will be no charges for this service. if Miss Jackson were alive, I would not have had to write you if she was there when General Eisenhower were born. That's what it says. I was also born in Denison, Texas, and my folks lived in the house, too. Well, I know this guy's a liar, based on my research. Flat out liar. I am doing all possible to help General Ike get elected. I am putting out Eisenhower buttons, about 5,000 of them. I hope you are enjoying excellent health and happiness, and with every good wish, I am sincerely yours, Lonnie F. Roberts, Commander, Veterans Action Committee, 223 and a half West Main Street, Rooms 210, Rooms 210, Denison, Texas. This looks like a genuine letter. Compared to some documents I've seen, it looks very genuine. Typewritten on very yellowed paper. Paper's got creases and folds in it, and the print lines up with the edge of the paper like it normally should, not like the fraudulent documents we've seen. But what's interesting is this is an attempt for somebody to create a birth certificate outside of the normal realm where these things occur. So I figured that you would, and the listeners would enjoy hearing this little story about my research and the fact that somebody found the letter describing the event. This is much better than a news article because it even discloses some things that were left out of the article and very specifically directs who should sign these documents as if this makes it a real event. Are you with me, Drew? I think Drew had to step away for a moment here. So, well, if we have anyone out there in the listening audience who would like to call in and chat about any of these topics tonight, we are taking calls at bbsradio.com, and the number is right there on the main homepage. I'm not there, but I'm going to go there right now so I can read that number off to you and invite you to... maybe ask Drew Malone Raines a question, or myself, or make a comment on how you see this thing in Haiti transpiring. Certainly, any other topic that you would like to talk about. And the call-in number for Station 1, I want to give you the toll-free number. And I'm now somebody's chatting back to me. Oh, you're back. Okay, good. Anyway, you didn't get to hear all of that, evidently.
No, I had a minor emergency and had to break away. Otherwise, we would have had to go totally off the air. We have some power fluctuations, and I had to go hit a switch on the outside of the house to go over to my battery backup.
Yeah, well, I was reading the instructions to Mamie Eisenhower on what to fill in on the affidavits so that this Lonnie F. Roberts could get a birth certificate.
And yeah, I heard that, but I heard that part and walked away right after you had mentioned that one part there where she was having to fill out the form, so to speak, to do a birth certificate.
Yeah, well, at the end, he's a commander of the... veterans there. Veterans Action Committee. And, of course, the way he's written this, I know this isn't true. If it were true, why would Dwight Eisenhower have told the INS at Ellis Island that he was born in Tyler, Texas? And that was typewritten. Why would he have made that claim?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're not talking about a hop, skip, and a jump from Denison, by the way.
No.
So we got more facts coming out here. So,
well, here's something strange that I don't know if anybody else has paid attention to. That was the Republican Party back in 1949 ramrodded a provision that no president should could be elected for more than two terms in office.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, to because they were afraid that down the road there would be more Democrats that would be in office and want to hold the office. But in fact, now they gave put a provision in there that that Harry Truman would be was exempt.
Mm-hmm.
But as it turned out, the election with Eisenhower put Eisenhower into the presidency, and if Eisenhower if that amendment to our Constitution had not been passed, Eisenhower could very well have been a 3 or 4 term president by dying in office, basically.
Mm-hmm.
In his fourth term, because there would have been nobody to stand up for Dwight David Eisenhower except people like MacArthur, or how about General Patton? But Patton was taken care of. MacArthur was basically bought off. I mean, he was the old soldier that just walked off the battlefield and disappeared. So there wasn't anybody out there. And if Nixon had been the vice president for 3 or 4 terms, obviously, he did become the president. The corruption there, the history of the United States could be very well changed. And here we are, the Democrats here just this last 4 years ago changed the voting laws in Massachusetts, so the then Republican governor could not appoint a lame duck senator to fill the shoes of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Now, Drew, I hate to interrupt you.
We got a caller. Go right ahead.
We got a caller. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from, please, and a question or comment you have.
My name is Kelly, and I'm calling from Pahrump, Nevada.
Kelly?
Yes.
Oh, you're from Art Bell country, are you?
Actually, yes.
okay. Well, welcome to
my question. Thank you, Don. And Drew, thank you. I've enjoyed the show so far, and I've listened to your show on a few occasions. Typically, I listen when it's posted by Ken Adachi on the educate-yourself.org website. That's mm-hmm. actually why I'm calling you tonight. I check his site pretty regularly. He hasn't posted anything in a while. And then now his site here is shut down, and I just wondered if you had any knowledge or news, if everything was okay.
He's okay. I know he was having a couple of computer problems, some issues and stuff that he's ironing out, and parts wear out on computers, and when it's difficult to see your screen, it's difficult to work your website. So trust me, I know. I spent all day dealing with a disk drive problem, and
okay.
I got it resolved, and almost instantly, I got about 3/4 of my site up, but I needed another 2 hours or so, to really put everything back in place. But that happens. Ken's okay though, so.
Well, that's good. And then if we can get back to the topic at hand, there, I have been saying for a little bit of time here that I just have an impression that what we're seeing are actually weather wars. The earthquakes, it's not just that, it's the bad weather. And I think, my take on it is that the powers that be are kind of pointing to each other and saying, yeah, well, I'm going to do this. If you're going to do that, I'll do that. And they're threatening each other back and forth, kind of flexing muscles, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. I'm inclined to agree with you. And I think even this what they labeled an aftershock of 6.0 today,
yes.
To me, that's a very late aftershock. Eight days later they get an aftershock. Somebody's saying, they're either saying, let us show you again what we can do, or somebody else said, look what we can do. So
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I do believe that's happening, and I think that if we can all step back and see the bigger picture, then the pattern becomes more apparent.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely intended to obfuscate or mask what's going on with the money, you know, the
yes.
big money.
Yeah,
let me jump in.
Sure, Drew.
She's right on point.
Yes.
Exactly. And I love her assessment, weather wars, because obviously this earthquake that happened today, 6.1, 8 days later, is not an aftershock, number one. And at the same time, we're being inundated on the West Coast, and nobody's talking about the devastation that's going on in California and the extremely heavy winds and rain. And the Arnold Schwarzenegger has come out and warned people, get out, leave. If you don't leave this area, you're going to die from mudslides. And all of that is because of the fires from last summer. And the devastation with these extremely dense thunderstorms that are blowing in from the Pacific onto the California coastline, they're warning people from San Francisco all the way down to San Diego. I did not know how bad it was. And, ma'am, I salute you for bringing the assessment of weather wars, because that's exactly what I see going on right now.
Yeah.
Well, I can throw something out there.
Kelly, I wanted to ask you if you're getting a lot of chemtrails in Pahrump.
Tremendous. Yeah, it's just tremendous. They lay like a basket weave on the sky just about daily. But what's an interesting thing with the storms in California, you know, the geography is such that if you have a storm in San Diego and it's moving towards Utah, it's going to run through the Las Vegas corner of Nevada to get there. It's a direct path. I mean, it's almost comical what a straight line you run into from that area. Mm-hmm. And in watching the radar with these storms, it's just been phenomenal that as they come up on the radar towards the state line of Nevada and towards the Pahrump, Las Vegas area, they just miraculously dry up. You know, they were these yellow, red, orange, oh my gosh, these horrendous storms. They get up here to where we are into the state line, and according to the radar, they're just these light green or non-existent storms. And then
they hit the mountains and they dissipate.
Well, that's apparently what they're telling us. But then on the other side of Las Vegas, they're coming up on the radar as the deep pink, you know, where it's even stronger than it was when it was the orange and the red, that it's now just, you know, gone into this super storm when it gets over into the Utah side. You know, I'm here and it's raining. It's not raining anything like it should be, considering the storms that are coming up throughout San Diego. And that just makes no sense to me until you consider that we're just right outside of Area 51.
Yeah.
When I lived in the southern part of Las Vegas back in 78, I stayed with my uncle there for three short months, and I remember talking to some fellow Marines that were still stationed in San Diego on the phone, and I'd call them up and talk to them on a Friday night late, and there would be a major storm over there, and within 48 hours, it would hit Las Vegas. And
exactly.
It was as bad in Las Vegas as it was over in San Diego. But here we are 40 years later, or 30 years later, and the storm that comes into San Diego is nothing. When it gets to Las Vegas, it's gone.
Now, years ago, and in the late 60s and into the 70s, I worked a lot of the hotels in Las Vegas, Reno, Lake Tahoe. I never saw rain. You rarely saw a cloud in the sky, and it's,
you rarely see a blue sky anymore.
Yes, it's pretty much like that everywhere now.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've got one for 3 days in a row here. No chemtrails, just beautiful blue, but it's not the real bright blue. It's like a hazy blue.
Yeah, yeah. That's. I mean, you know, we've had very strange weather. We've had snow, then we've had fog. We have the snow melting, and then it dipped another 20 degrees in the middle of the afternoon. It's very aberrant weather.
I just got an IM from Joe out of San Diego. He says that there's a 1.3 million Californians have lost their power over there.
Oh, wow.
What part of California is that now?
Southern California.
San Diego, yeah.
He doesn't say San Diego. He just says, hey, Drew, you were talking about the storms over here. I want to let you know that more than 1.3 million Californians have lost power, and we've been out of power for 2 days now. Now, this particular individual lives in Oceanside, which is just north of San Diego,
yeah.
About 35, 40 miles.
Yeah.
Now, shouldn't that be headline news?
I haven't heard a lick of it. I've heard more about Tiger Woods than I've heard about that.
In my point, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, well, gentlemen, thank you for your time. I don't want to keep you. I appreciate the show. I appreciate what you're doing.
We're happy you called in, and do call in again. Let your friends know about us if you like the show, like the guests. We're just trying to bring the truth to you.
So well, I appreciate that. Most of my friends think I'm crazy, of course.
Welcome to the party. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got tons
yeah.
of friends out there that think I belong in a nut house.
Absolutely, yes. I chuckle and continue to spread information. So,
what are you
going
to say to them when you get to watch them go crazy?
Oh, you know, yeah. It's all about trying to uplift everyone, right?
Yes.
You know, we're
yes,
all in this together. So,
we don't want to see people get crazy. That's not what it's about. But there are people waking up. You know, you can see. There's only so much you can tell them, and the fluorides kick in.
You know, you mentioned that. I just explained to someone the other day that, you know, what fluoride actually is, that it's not helping your teeth one tiny little bit, and, you know, that it was basically like a sedative, and it was preventing us from thinking properly. And I was a bad mom. I didn't give it to my kids, you know. They're doing great in school. They're pretty smart kids. But she told me that couldn't be true, of course, because the dentist tells her she needs it and things. And I said, yeah, and it's, you know, amazing how many people that follow all those directions are just the couch potatoes. They just sit in front of the television, and you try to have a conversation with them, and they don't have the attention span, and they just can't function, and they can't think. And she said to me that, you know, you're right, I never thought of it like that. So I sent her the article about the fluoride, and hopefully she'll stop taking it.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
was a nice
you
breakthrough.
Know,
it doesn't happen often.
They came up with this idea many years ago in Germany to get rid of the waste product from the aluminum manufacturing processes. And they figured they'd sneak it into the drinking water. And they just watched what it did to people. And it definitely impacts the brain. And that's, you see people become placid or apathetic. And that's treating it mildly. It does a lot of other things, not to mention it builds up toxicity that can be removed. There are some specialists. I've had Dr. Rashid A. Buttar on the show, and he specializes in removing these heavy metals and these toxic chemicals that we consume. You know, we're not doing it intentionally, but it's being intentionally put into our drinking water or our tap water. I wouldn't even call it drinking water anymore. I don't even wash the floor with that, to tell you the truth.
Well, yeah. Again, thank you for your time. I don't want to keep the show going. And wonderful. Good luck getting this right back up. And I'm glad to hear Ken's okay.
Yeah,
carry on.
He's okay. And I'll let him know you asked. If he's not listening, I'll let him know.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. You take care, Kelly. Call us again, too.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. There you go, Drew. See, we got people over by Area 51 and S4.
At least one. We got one listener out there.
Yeah, we got one. Yeah. Yeah.
No, this is I just love it because... You know, there she is. She's finding out that she talks to her friends, and they look at her like, you know, you're nuts. Well, they've been doing that to me for 17 years now. And I have a secretary that was working with me in 1992 as a high school kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's a mother of two, and she literally went out of her way to come by and approach me at my own house and say, you know, I thought you were nuts back in 93, but you were telling me, you were just showing things to me that I couldn't see. And now I'm 32 years old, and it's like a light bulb went off in her head. All of a sudden she had to seek me out to say, thank you for putting this in front of me, because all of a sudden I woke up. And she didn't say it in that many terms, but basically she came by just to thank me for keeping her educated on the horrors of controlled government and the secrets that are being held that we're not being told about, as well as the fact that you know, Area 51 and all the government cover-ups with HARP, and now we got Jesse Ventura coming out on his show. I mean, he got a new show tonight. It'll be on my News and Views tomorrow morning. And here's a young girl that was, when I first met her, she's 17 years old. She's now 32, it's gratifying to know that you make a difference in somebody's life to where at some point they will wake up and, hey, I need to go over here and buy some food. I need to get me some organic seeds. I need to get me a way to purify water. I need to put a water well on my property that the government doesn't know about. And I need to look into this alternative energy that you were talking about 20 years ago on how to create my own electricity to charge the batteries on my house. I have one guy that listened to me in 1992 that put up a windmill, like an old-fashioned water wheel windmill back in the 1900s. You know what I'm talking about, Don.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like an oil derrick, but it's got a big fan at the top of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And he put that sucker up to where it would pull water out of the ground, but he built it in such a way that he could put a gear on it, and he did. When he put the gear on it, the gear turns another gear, and that gear is attached to a shaft. That shaft has a belt on it, and the belt turns an alternator, not one alternator, but four alternators that charge forklift batteries, eight forklift batteries, and the eight forklift batteries feed the power to his house.
Hmm.
No, he doesn't run electric range.
Yeah.
But he's got all the power he wants for his refrigerator and his television and his computer. Now, I know he does cook on electric range, but how, you know, the way he's got it set up, I don't know how much how much power he's created and set it up and what would happen when he is cooking. So who knows?
Well, you know, they have inverters, too. I mean, you can do...
Well, the inverters, I mean, it's set up. He came to me to get the back in 94, the inverter that I turned him on to cost $3,000. You can buy that same inverter today for like $800.
Huh.
Okay? But at some point, your batteries are going to drain down.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what you got to have. You got to have battery backups, huh? But I haven't seen him in a number of years. But he's the only one that I know that listened to me 17 years ago, and it's gratifying to know that more and more people are starting to pay attention to what they need to do. But you know, Don, let me ask you this: you know, the biggest problem that I'm having, that is the people that I tell get out of the cities. You need to get out of the cities and find you a small community to move into. And it's better to go out and find a community that's got a few more like-minded people that are just like you than it is to go to a community where everybody thinks you're a nutcase. Is that too much to ask, Don?
Oh, no, not at all. You know, Drew, you see this everywhere you go. You can meet some total strangers and strike up a conversation and find out that in a very short time that those people are awake and they know what's going on. You can pretty much talk about anything without a problem. And there's always that one individual that comes by that wants to see, you know, what's going on. They want to eavesdrop on the conversation and put their negative two cents in that none of this is possible. And, you know, a couple of months after 9/11, the first person I talked to, the first stranger I talked to said, "You don't expect me to believe that, do you?" I said, "No, I really don't. I don't expect you to believe anything, actually. I'm not asking any of you to believe anything. But certainly you, as a traveling salesman around the world doing international business, you must hear some comments from people that you deal with from time to time, don't you?"
Oh, yeah. Oh. I just got an IM just now. Just popped up on my screen from Haiti. Drew, we just saved an 8-year-old girl at the hospital. We've got her here at the hospital at the present time. 11-year-old girl. I'm sorry. It's 8 days after the earthquake. They've saved an 11-year-old girl from a collapsed building.
Oh yeah, I heard some stories. They're literally
levitating. This is day 8 now.
Yes.
This isn't day 7. This is day 8.
They're levitating some of these buildings. They're finding whole groups of people in some of these buildings or underneath them.
Well, I know for a fact I did an 8-day or 6-day fast, and for 2 days I didn't drink any water. So I know that your body, if you're at some point, God puts enough strength in your body. I mean, you can live if you just calm down and just don't get excited.
Yeah. Well,
and,
I mean,
obviously, yeah, there's some miracles definitely going on.
You know, in situations like that too, God made us that we sort of go into a, what I call a zone. It's a protective space that we go into. And yes, we may have a building pressing down on us, and we could be bleeding from different extremities and maybe suffering from head injuries, maybe even unconscious, but there's some aspect of us that still is at work. And you know, the reason we go into shock in certain circumstances is so we don't freak out and induce you know, self annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know generally as a mass of humanity, the majority of people don't realize who they are. They don't know a whole lot about their powers and things that they could do to survive. Somehow they think, well, if I don't have water or I don't have food, I'm going to die. Well, eventually, yes. But if you have air, then you're all right. But Drew, I got to tell you, we're out of time. Time flew by fast tonight. And
as it always does. See, that's the problem with you, Don. You've always been running out of time. You know, I don't know what it is. My clock runs 24/7. I don't know why your clock just runs out of time. But I do appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk to the listening audience. I'm going to leave the listening audience with one thing. Please, do your own investigations. I mean, you hear us talk about it. Go out and look. Do your own digging. Look at it's all out there. It's all over the internet. You can go to your public library, pull the books up, look at what's been going on with the oil industry for the last 40 years. You can literally go to books in the library and learn how to put together your own electrical devices, utilizing what's available right now. It's not nothing rocket science. If you've got a little wind at 4 miles an hour, you can put a fan up there in the air. The wind will blow that fan. The fan can go to a shaft and hook to a shaft. The shaft can turn a gear at the bottom of the shaft and turn a belt that would charge that is hooked up to an alternator that can charge a battery. Boom! All of a sudden, you've got some minor power there, and it doesn't have to be a lot. It's just enough to put some lights on your house.
Yeah.
Learn that forget about what the government says about the fluorescent light bulbs. Get the fluorescent light bulbs. They don't use a lot of power, hardly at all.
Drew, thank you.
And I appreciate it.
We do have to go. So I want to thank you for being on the show. And
I talk too much.
I look forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. Say hello to all my friends over in Russia, in Australia, Ireland, and elsewhere. And to all the Marines, Semper Fi.
Amen.
Okay. Drew, you take care. Have a good night.
God bless.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and our special guest tonight, Drew Malone Raines III. Visit his website at amd.elequity.com, and the name of his radio show, Monday through Fridays, on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and on the Internet at blogtalkradio.com, is A Marine's Disquisition. I'll be with Drew next Monday, in fact. And want to thank those two networks for carrying Evident Footprints. Also, special thanks to bbsradio.com, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound. Most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night for another great show. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.